The oldest classified documents in the National Archives contain secret recipes for invisible ink, formulas that were used during the First World War, and those formulas will stay classified. A lawsuit from a public interest group had demanded access to the papers. Manuals with titles like Detection of Secret Ink, Secret Ink Technical Manual, and German Secret Ink Formula. But government lawyers argue the paper's release could compromise national security. And this week, a federal judge agreed, saying the formulas for invisible ink are still useful for undercover officers in the field. For more on this topic, we turn to Keith Melton. He's a professor at the Center for Counterintelligence and Security Studies.
Secret inks have been with us for hundreds of years. Probably it reached its height is the period between World War I and World War II. But in the world of espionage, and in specifically with the craft that intelligence officers and spies use, there's an old saying is that something's never old, it's just not in use. And because we so focus now on, say, digital steganography, or the hiding of information, if you look back at even at World War I, at some of the ancient techniques, the Germans in World War I arrested Russian spies crossing their line that, for example, would use secret writing. They'd actually put the messages on people's skin, on their backs, on their legs, literally write it that way, in which it would be developed once they got across the line.
No kidding. You use the word there. I don't know. Steganography?
Steganography. It refers to the art of hidden information.
Okay. To go back to the people coming across the enemy lines, how would they find out what was written on the skin?
Well, you'd actually have to take the person, and if you had a reason to believe there was something wrong, then you'd have to search them. Then you could literally apply a reagent on the skin and see if you develop a secret writing. But it's an example of something that is so old that arguably it would work today. So that's perhaps some of the concerns that the authorities have in not wanting to release some of the formulas.
Well, how old could it be? What's the earliest you know about and the most primitive that you know about? What would show up, for example, in Boy's Life, which was the publication of the Boy Scouts?
Oh, I don't know the specifics. Traditionally, secret inks have two components. One is the ink itself, and the other is what we call the reagent. And the reagent is the way that you develop the ink. So a secret ink could be something as simple as lemon juice and water, in which you'd write on the paper, you develop it, the reagent would simply be heat, and that would develop the writing. Intelligence services use often multiple formulas and then multiple steps, so you may have to do two or three steps and apply different reagents before you could finally develop something so you could see it. The big problem historically with secret inks wasn't as much the ink as it was to make sure that you somehow don't disturb the fibers of the paper. So if the pen you were using depresses the paper or moves or alters the fibers, those can be detected under certain microscopes.
So you need something that sort of really just sort of glides and paints the paper?
Well, actually you do. Or the technique that has been used and was especially popular during the Cold War was you'd take a plain piece of paper, you would write on any kind of a pen with your secret ink, and then you'd let it dry, and then you'd take another piece of paper, put it on top of it, and put a weight. And so you'd only have the molecular transfer between the two pieces of paper were in contact with each other.
Now, the top piece of paper is the document, then?
Well, yes, that's what you'd say. Then you could take and write a regular letter on it, or you could type a letter and put it in an envelope and just mail it.
Do you have any idea, now Judge Thomas Penfield Jackson is saying this has to be kept secret, do you have any idea what we're talking about here now when we talk about 80-year-old inks?
Well, if Judge Jackson looked at all the facts and he understands the reasons that it affects our security, as much as I'd like to see them, I'm very comfortable that there's a good reason to not make them public.
Mr. Melton, thank you for explaining this.
You're most welcome.
Keith Melton of the Center for Counterintelligence and Security Studies. We reached him in Los Angeles.